Come on, Jason. Come on.
See, my finger is on.
There we go.
I had to start talking, apparently. His voice activated with the finger, apparently.
Yeah,
the person
pushing
it.
You had to use your voice and your finger.
Push the button.
That's actually new technology. Yeah. Welcome to The Banter, everybody. Today's episode of The Banter is brought to you by Manscaped. This episode is brought to you by the Spring Cleaning Champions, Manscaped. They're the Spring Cleaning Champs. Use the Manscaped Lawnmower 5.0 and watch your confidence bloom like the springtime flowers. Embrace the season and join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our special offer. Go to manscaped.com and use code BANTER20 for 20% off plus free shipping. Here's the thing. After using Manscaped, I can finally say I've caught the spring fever.
Oh,
absolutely. Yeah. Introducing the season's champ, the Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra. Their fifth generation trimmer features two interchangeable next gen skin safe blade heads, a standard one for taking a little off the top, and a new foil blade to go smooth wherever your heart desires. It also features dual LED spotlights to guide you through the darkest winter debris. Navigate with confidence in your delicate areas. Hate making a mess? Not to worry. This bad boy is waterproof. Shave in the shower, the bath, or in the ocean. That would be a move.
Yeah.
Salt water.
Salt water,
huge.
Though. I wonder how. Hey, they said that you can.
Yeah, they said, they said it.
So.
yeah. Sorry. And hey, spring cleaning doesn't just apply to the nether regions. Get a full grooming experience with Manscaped's signature Beard Hedger Pro Kit plus Handyman Electric Face Shaver.
And you can use it in America as well.
That's right.
Not just the Netherlands.
That's right. Whether you're looking to craft your signature look or clean up that neckline, these are always the right tools for the job. So get 20% off plus free shipping with code BANTER20 at manscaped.com. That's 20% off and free shipping with code BANTER20 at manscaped.com. There you go. Get that spring cleaning going. Manscaped, they rock.
We've had like a spring regression here in Lynchburg, it feels like. There was like a week where it really felt like we were jumping into springtime.
Yeah.
Sprinting full speed into spring.
We had a week that was a little silly. It was like borderline summer, but
it
I will say, you know, we had a little bit of a cold front, but tomorrow it warms up a little bit, 61, and then we get 67, 71, 77 on Easter Sunday.
Yep.
Hallelujah, wow. I'll say. And then 74 on Monday. Next week, it cools down a little bit again with some rain, but not as much as this week.
Mm-hmm.
I think the kicker was this week we saw low temps that were like 30, 32 in the morning. And that was like what punched us in the face a little bit. But we're getting there. Listen, spring in Virginia compared to spring in Pennsylvania rocks. Because spring, if this little regression we would had this week would be, oh, you have baseball tryouts next week, but the field just got covered in a foot of snow. Gonna have to wait for that to melt. Mm-hmm. Like that's the Pennsylvania, the classic spring move was to have a couple warm weeks and then snow right at the end of, like right at the beginning of April. Just like as there's leaves on the trees and they just got coated in snow and now your tree branches are falling off.
That's crazy.
Like that's like classic Pennsylvania spring. So the transition seasons in this part of the country rock. The falls are awesome because you start to get cooler weather, but it just kind of stays like that. It doesn't ever really get that cold until like January. And then the spring, it warms up way quicker. It's like by the time you get into February, you're already getting days back in 60 degrees.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You get a longer buffer before the summer weather comes in, and that rocks too. I love the transitional seasons. They're my favorite two seasons.
That's like the top thing that people say about like this area in Virginia is that they love the seasons.
Yeah,
I love it. Could never live where there isn't
four seasons. A lot of
people
move here because they want to see the seasons.
Well, because it's like Trevor says, very consistent. Like there, we've lived a lot of places, and in two different places, for sure, the joke is always like, "Oh, you like it? You like the warmth today? Just wait, you know, 24 hours, it'll change."
Mm-hmm.
We don't have those drastic changes here. It's like nice gradual changes. Maybe it gets warm, then go cold again. But even in Florida or Alabama, oh, you like the weather? Just wait a day; it's going to change drastically.
That's kind of how it is
really
in Texas
here.
Too.
Yeah,
Texas. I know Birdie's always talking about how it gets. It's ridiculous, and we've actually witnessed that firsthand, where it'll be like 70 degrees and then 40 degrees the next day.
Yeah,
but I will say the one thing about it, like spring sprung like real quick on me, and I'm not used to it still, is that like all of a sudden I'm like, oh, I gotta tune up the lawnmower. I gotta start thinking about buying mulch. I bought my house at the end of last summer, the very end of last summer. So like, yeah, I was cutting the grass, but it was kind of like, it was very easier for me to be like, I'm not gonna do any outdoor maintenance until next year, because it's not really worth it at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And it snuck up on me because now it's like I want to do so many things to my outdoor area, and it's like I'm not even done doing things in the indoor area.
Yeah, I realized
I'm gonna be doing this stuff till I'm ancient.
I realized the other day there's a tree branch that drips sap that's right over my driveway.
You've known that since last year.
That's not what I realized.
Oh, okay. I was like, what?
I was just, I know you know about the branch. I was filling everybody else in.
Okay. Yeah, I know about sap branch. That, shock wire.
That drips sap only on the car on the right side of the driveway. Left side of the driveway, unscathed.
Sticky zone.
I know that because one day I was borrowing my parents' car and it was parked on the right side of the driveway. And I came outside and I thought I had genuinely been pranked. Like, I thought that Hunter and Trevor were going to come around the corner.
It's like maple syrup.
And I was like, they know that this is like my dad's car. It'd be really weird for them to do this to my dad's car. It literally looked like they just dumped gallons of syrup on the car. And I was like, what the heck? And I waited. Nobody jumped out from behind the bushes. So
that's funny. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And so I got in the car, started driving. I was like, I can't see. And I turned the windshield wipers and I was like, now I really can't see. It was like an Instagram filter. And and so then I found out that the tree branch above that spot was dripping sap. And then I was like, oh, I need to cut that tree branch down.
Sap is evil.
And then I looked it up because at the time it was like warm. It was like summer. It wasn't like summer. It was summer.
Yeah.
So I guess it was also like summer.
Yeah.
And it said that you can't prune trees, like cut branches off during those hot months because it'll kill the whole tree. And
oh,
I was like, well, I don't want the tree to fall on my house.
Like, what defines a hot month? Just like summer?
Yeah, like the summer months.
Because I got
basically
trees that are in, my front yard tree is encroaching on the power lines.
Yeah, I can't. It will. It told me specifically what months, but it was the months I was in at that time.
Okay.
So I was like, okay, I'll just wait until like winter time and go ahead and cut them. Well, winter's gone now.
Right.
And
summer's not here yet.
I haven't cut
it. You have a pole saw.
I know. I just haven't cut the branch.
Do it today.
Yeah, you have time.
I can't today.
Do it tomorrow.
I can't tomorrow.
The weather's going to be great this weekend. I mean, we just
do it this weekend
on Saturday.
Saturday.
I can't this weekend.
Saturday?
You can't find. My family's in town this weekend.
It takes 20 minutes.
Your father's probably like doing it.
That's a fun activity.
It's a family thing.
That is a fun. Dad, you go cut down this sap branch?
Listen, every single time I am near my dad, we go straight into project mode and start fixing something.
There you go.
And I don't think that it's a healthy thing for the rest of my family.
But this is a real 10-minute fix.
Right.
You literally grab a saw, you turn it on. It's an electric saw. You turn it on. Zoop.
Yep.
That's that simple.
You're right. But
that's a 10-minute fix.
It's just not going to be, though.
What do you mean?
It's not going to be in the moment.
Huh?
Because we're going to find other things to do. I'll do it. I'm going to do it.
I don't believe you.
I'm just not going to do it this week.
I don't believe you. Promise me that you'll do it before the summer. And the summer starts May 1st. Promise me.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah.
You promise?
Why are you doing this to me?
I'm going to hold you accountable.
Oh, yeah. I'll do it.
You promise?
I promise.
We have video evidence now.
You just made
when
me
is
a
May
promise.
1st? What month is it? March? Oh, yeah.
You've got basically a month.
Yeah. Well, I got to get it done, so I'm going to do it.
You guys heard it here. Don't break your promise to me.
Be sure to do weekly check-ins.
You already broke.
I also wanted to clear out the woods behind our house too. That never happened.
Connor, dude, you have this. Do you have?
What? Don't act disappointed in me.
I am.
There's things that you haven't done that you wanted to do.
You don't know anything about what I haven't done. No, you're not kidding. Most of so many things to do around my house.
It's called being a homeowner. You guys know it now, so.
Yeah.
It's the life of
no, I know it.
We've actually bought two brand new homes in our life, which was great. So we didn't have anything to do in the house. But now this house is an older house. So
my house was made
little
during,
thing here, little thing there.
I think they built my house
little thing there
during Prohibition. So yeah, it's very old. there's a lot of things to do to it.
That tree in the front yard is pretty awesome, though. We were talking
great
about that.
Tree,
like,
though.
That is
a great
amazing
tree.
Tree.
Epic tree.
Those white leaves
it's
were just.
Tree. It's all, yeah, all the flowers are gone now. It's all leaves now. All
right. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a great climbing tree for the kids as they get older.
Unless I prune it in the summer, then they're just going to fall right out of it.
I did like go for the first time. This is actually the day of our gender reveal. I went back in the woods. Well, my friend John was like, you ever explored these woods back here? And I was like, I haven't walked out there yet because it's like the entrance into the woods is so thick with just like thorns and weeds and underbrush and trees that
that's
like
how mine
you can't
too.
Really get through. And so I just assumed that all the woods were like that. So I haven't tried to like get back there yet because I didn't want to get back there until I was like doing it for like a reason. And then, well, it turns out if you get past like the first 5 feet of that like underbrush and everything, it's like super clear back there. And I always wondered why, like, there's always a ton of deer in our yard. Like, at least three times a week, there's 14 deer in our yard. And I always wondered what the heck they're doing back there, but it's because they've just cleared out the woods, and it's like very, it's like a nice little, like a nice little meadow back there. But there's also so many old pieces of metal just like dug in the ground, like just like ran. There was a car air compressor was back there.
How'd that get there?
Like AC compressor.
Yeah, how'd that get there? Was it a Murray?
Wait, yeah, it was a Murray. I'm just kidding. No, it was like an obviously an old one. A bunch of old tools that are just like in pieces. There was a old like vintage pogo stick that obviously was leaned up against a tree at one point, and now the tree has grown around.
That's awesome. Yeah. I love that crap. Yeah. Well, that's really, you know what's funny is, so I the bottom of my woods, there's not just random stuff. It's a scrap pile. Like you can tell somebody in the past was just throwing metal barrels and crap down there. And it was funny because I was cleaning out my shed the other day for a little bit. And like the thought, I think I'm getting like possessed by my house, because it like crept into my head. I was like, I mean, there's already a bunch of stuff down there. I could just start tossing this scrap down in the pile in the woods. Like, I don't want to get a dumpster for all of this. And I didn't do it. But I thought about it.
Yeah,
it crept in. It did.
It got crept. It got crept.
There's a bunch of rusty metal and pipes down there. I mean, like, what's another piece of carpet, huh? For the environment, you know.
What the funny thing is that all the deer and a mixture of the deer and the rabbits. There are rabbits everywhere.
Yeah.
Have like created like multiple different like perfect paths through the like brush. So like last year, or whenever we bought the house in May. And it wasn't, like, it was just, like, a wall. But now there's, like, three perfect paths that you could just, like, walk through there. But now my dog has discovered them. So he tries to go back there, but I don't want him to get ticks.
Yeah, our woods are so vicious that I'm just going to fence them off. I'm literally going to put a one singular length of fence along the back of my yard. Because there's, like, the last 3 feet of yard drop pretty quick right into just the nastiest briars you'll ever lay your eyes on. So I'm just going to go one length of fence, and I'm probably going to end up doing it myself, and I'm going to probably regret that. And my dad hit me with one, because I was telling my dad about it. I was like, I need to get like a quote on this, because like I've done so much crap on my own recently that I'm just kind of gotten into that mindset of like these big projects that I now know how hard they are. I may just save up until I can contract a professional, because like for instance, I refinished an entire floor. I mean, I did a lot of flooring stuff in my house, and to the point where when I was done with it, I was like, when I do decide to get this carpet up in my basement and put in like LVP or whatever, I'm just gonna have a professional do it, because I'm so sick of it. My mind's already started to change on that, but that's how I feel about the fence. But then my dad was like, oh no, dude, because I watched a lot of YouTube on putting in fences, and it just looked like a pain in the butt.
Are you doing chain link or wood?
It's gonna be wood. Okay, and if I were to do it myself, I would probably just buy you can buy just like the picket sections, you know, and I wouldn't, because I only need like 90 feet of fence. And so if I did it that way, and I was willing to put in the work, like I would probably be able to do it for, you know, easily under $1,000, like not super expensive, considering how expensive fences can be. But I was just like, the problem is it's not just a flat grade the whole way. Yep. And so like leveling it and getting all the pickets the right height, digging the holes the right depth, it seemed like a pain in the butt. My dad was like, oh no, like it's not bad. And I was like, oh, so you want to help? Like, like you want to help me out? Because gosh, I'm just dreading that. Like the idea of going back there and trying to like, anytime, the thing about home ownership I've learned that's like tough is like there's two different kinds of projects. In the house, there's like the low visibility, like patch it up, just get it done type projects. And then there's these things that like, as a homeowner, like, okay, when I do this project, this is going to be a thing in my house that's pretty permanent.
Yeah.
And therefore, I need to be confident enough that I can make it look good. And like, for instance, I made a shoe cubby recently, but it was a shoe cubby that was being thrown into a closet. So it turned out fine, but it didn't need to be perfect because it's now in a closet. Right. It holds shoes. It does its job. Nobody sees it. Then recently I made a shelf, and like this shelf was like one of the first things I made that was like very visible in my home. And I was like, this is different. Like this, if I mess up, like what in the world? Like this is my house now. Like that's what it is. So like the fence, that's a big one.
Right.
Like if it looks terrible, if it's all crooked, like that thing, that I just invested all this money into. Like, I'm depending on my own abilities and craftsmanship to get this fence looking right. And that's a lot of pressure. That's high pressure stuff right there.
Yeah, we put in our own chain link fence in our backyard, which is like, like a 2/3 of an acre. So it's massive. Mm-hmm. We end up not fencing at all, but we end up bringing a... Because it was so expensive. This was in 2022, so everything was still expensive. So we literally took down our chain link fence in Montgomery and brought it with us.
That's awesome.
Everything that could fit on the moving truck came with us. So, but it is a pain. And there's lots of, there's some poles that look real good, but if you touch it, even though it's concreted in, because it wasn't concrete very well, it just moves really well. So, and we had to do some unique engineering on some poor measurements on stuff. So we had to, like, because when we ran a fence back, we have a little barn at the back of our yard that was already there. And we came up to it, and it was our last pole for the gate. We had mismeasured, so there was a space between where the gate is and the barn is. So then we just put another pole there and connected those poles together just to try to keep stuff out. But I have an auger. It's a long way of saying, if you guys ever need an auger, we bought an auger.
Just about to ask you, Jason. I said I know that you said that you had an auger, and I might need to borrow it soon.
Yep, no problem. It was cheaper to buy than rent for how long I was going to need it, because that backyard took us like a week and a half, because we just didn't have all day every day to work on it. It was going to 2 hours. So we just bought the auger, and we'll happily let you borrow it. So.
I need to, because I did like string lights around our fire pit, and I just concreted them into Lowe's buckets. And it sucks. They're all crooked. They're all bad. It's not the way that I wanted to do it originally. But I just ended up doing it for convenience sake. And it seems easier than, like, I brought up the idea of trying to fix it by, like, putting planter boxes around it so it'd be sturdier.
Right.
And then I just decided it's going to cost maybe $100 to just, like, get new things to do it the right way. Yeah. And so I just got 10-foot 4x4s so that I could bury them in the ground.
Yeah.
And then concrete them in the ground. But...
We have two bags of concrete too. So if you want some concrete,
I already got the concrete. Okay. And I was like, "Oh, these big bags of concrete are a good deal." And then I remembered that they're heavy.
They're very, very
so heavy,
dude. I have a huge amount of respect for the guys who, like, their job every day is just to carry those bags of concrete. Yeah, I mean, it's concrete's crazy. Hard, I love watching roofers like walk up the ladders, like, with no hands, with just a bunch of shingles on their back. Like,
dude, and those things are heavy as crap. Oh, my God.
They always have, like, one piece of foam. And foam mattress topper, basically. And just, like, throw it over their shoulder with, like, all those things and just walk up the freaking ladder. It's
different.
Awesome. It's
They're
awesome.
Built different. Yeah. Couldn't be me. I had like, one pack of leftover roof shingles in my shed that I think were used on my shed. And, like, I just have to drag them around.
Yeah, there's like a pallet of shingles in my crawl space, and I was going to try to get them out of there, and I tried to pick one up, and I was like, that's not worth it. They're not taking up that much space. They're just going to stay down here. Yeah.
Part of the house now.
I really wanted the pallet that they were on top of is really what I wanted.
Oh, that's a good point. Pallet desk.
Not worth it.
I turned this pallet into a $300 table.
Yep.
Incoming.
Elizabeth has done that multiple times, taking multiple pallets, and she had to work, like, she likes to garden and do everything outside, so she literally got a bunch of free pallets while we're in Montgomery and built a little pallet workbench.
That's awesome.
And then she's the handyman in the house between me and her, because I have no desire to do that, so Elizabeth just gets it planned and does it. And she also, so when we were in Alabama, we were at our house on base, there was a little bitty room they added on, and it was actually in the... This is how old the house is. Talking about Prohibition. Mm-hmm. In the floor plan, it's called the servants' quarters.
Oh,
like,
my
the
original, God.
These floor plans are like from early 1900s. It's really called the servants' quarter. So Xander, my youngest, wanted to be there because he had his own bathroom, but none of our beds fit. So we built a bed, like a no kidding, you know, four-poster bed. Not four-poster bed, but like elevated bed.
Mm-hmm. Like a loft bed.
Loft bed. And then we didn't need it anymore. So Elizabeth, we just kept all the wood because wood is freaking expensive. Mm-hmm. And so we brought all that up here, and Elizabeth built her a bench underneath. We have a... Our house is a two-story house, but also it's a basement, so it's a walkout deck, and so she has a workbench underneath the deck that she just built out of the wood all
That's
on her own
awesome.
Without any help.
That's cool.
And then when we had good weather a couple weeks ago on a weekend, we have a pool in our backyard, and by the deck, there's a little walkway they had built that was just gravel, and it's gotten worn out for dogs and stuff, so she literally just built a little wood walkway there one Saturday. She goes, you know, I'm just going to do this today. Talking about the good weather, getting the need to do stuff. So
that's
she
awesome.
I was like, okay, you do your own thing, man, and she did. She bought the wood, cut it, measured it, put it out there, stained it all in one day, so now we have a nice little walking path between
awesome.
Our deck and our pool, which
that's
has a
cool.
fence around it. So
yeah, I'm a wood hoarder.
Yeah, we do too.
It like, happened pretty quick, and I have no space for it. I need to build some high up like racks for them.
Yeah.
The tough thing about wood too is like a lot of the wood I have is like thinner plywood right now, and so it just, I mean, that's a fruit roll up. I got some quarter inch plywood that I used for a project not long ago, and I mean, you just have that thing sitting on the floor and it'll just curl up on itself. It's ridiculous. Mm. That stuff warps so quick. I wish wood didn't do that.
We had these like IKEA shelves that were in our front room when we first moved in, and we hated them. Like they at the end of the day, people always were really like confused as to why we hated them so much, but they're just like very like renter friendly looking. Like they were screwed into the wall, but they were just like modular. You could move them around everything. I don't know. Maybe it's just because like Gabby and I were both coming off of our we were both in college. And then got married the week after graduation, and then started renting a house. And so we both lived like the dorm life, and then the sharing a house with like our roommates life, and then like renting a house together life. And we were done with the renter look. Like we wanted to like, this is our home look. Like that's what we wanted. And so I think that's why like whenever we walked in, we would just look at the shelves and be like, I'm in a dorm room, and that's not where I am. Like, I'm not in a dorm room anymore. And so, like, we hated these shelves. And so we finally, like, took them down, and I built, like, a wooden bookshelf to put there that I was very proud of. And it was, like, Gabby showed me a picture on Pinterest, and I was like, I will build that. And I didn't look at any plans. I just, like, did it the way I wanted to out of my head. Took me a week, and I was in my shed until midnight, like, every single night. And I had to rebuild it multiple times because it fell apart. But it was really fun, and I learned a lot. But it looks pretty nice. And whenever we were getting rid of the shelves, I just put them all in the crawl space, except for like two segments that I just like screwed into the wall on my shed. And I was like, oh, I'll just put like all my like stains and finishes here or whatever. And so I just put a bunch of cans of stains and finish on there. And then the other day, Gabby was like, oh, I sold those shelves on Facebook Marketplace, by the way. And I was like, no way, seriously? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, oh, that's awesome. And we sold them for like $100. That's and there was, awesome. I mean, all we did was take them off the wall. Yeah. So it was great. And then I was like, oh, crap. That means I got to take down the shelves that I put up in the shed. So now there's just like cans of finish and stain all over
my
shed.
Well, the good thing about
having to build shelves.
The good thing about being a wood hoarder is that you can just drill any of it to the wall, and all of a sudden you have a shelf.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
You can take a 2x4 and put it in the wall, and then you got a shelf.
Very true.
That's the easy thing to do. Well, in the spirit of all of this, I think what we're going to do today is a snake draft.
Okay.
So we did tier list last week, but I wanted to do a snake draft so we could all have our individuality reflected.
Like it.
And we'll have people vote in the comments whose lineup is the best. And originally, my idea was going to just be to do straight up tools, but I'm going to broaden it a little bit. Not just tools. This is going to be helpful household objects. So tools can absolutely be included in that, but you could also include pieces of technology, a cleaning object, like anything that you would consider a helpful homeowner's, like tool would be a good word to even describe it, but it's not just your traditional
like a
tool.
Utility item, a homeowner's utility item.
Right. Anything that helps you out the most. So we're going to get 5 picks for each person. I will write them all down so that we can, maybe we'll put it as the pinned comment if we can convince Hunter to do that. I mean, whew, that's a tough ask. But I'll put it in as a comment if I have to. But in any case, that way people can see them in the comments and they can all vote on who has the best list of 5.
Okay.
And we're improvising this, I'll mention, so don't come after us if we forget something obvious. All right. I'll start since I came up with the idea to make it fair so I don't put you guys on the spot. And then we'll go. Well, actually, that's not going to make any sense because I'm in the middle. You have one?
I'm ready.
Okay, then you can start, and we'll come this way and then snake back. Okay.
I'm trying to figure out.
I have one too as well, so I need to get a second lined up. I don't think Connor's going to choose mine, but I have an obvious.
Yeah, and
I've got two.
It's a draft, so you get.
Right.
I've got two, and I don't want either of them to be taken, so I don't know which one to go first.
Right.
Do I want to go with a. Okay. All right, I'm going to go with a very. Shoot. I'm already overthinking this like crazy.
Okay.
I will just start off with a dishwasher.
Dish Okay, so we're going into appliances.
Wow.
Okay.
Right?
It's like, I did not think about appliances.
I was more, yeah, I was definitely.
I was thinking
not,
about something that you could okay, hold
we'll,
in your
okay,
hand.
Okay, we'll get rid of it. Because I was thinking, like I was that. Like, because I was even going towards like kitchen items.
Yeah.
Well, I would say, no, I would say you can use a kitchen item. I think appliance is more of like a machine. I'm thinking more okay. of like.
Yeah.
You okay. Yeah, use with your hands type items, I guess. I don't know. Like smaller than that, I guess.
Plumbing. I'm just kidding. A roof. Yeah, okay. All right, then I'm gonna go with a drill.
That's perfect.
A drill. Yeah. Drill. Because you can do a lot of things with a drill. It's probably yeah. the first tool that you need. You could say screwdriver, but you could do things that you do with a screwdriver with a drill.
Yeah, drill's very helpful. Yep. Yeah.
I like drill.
I'm gonna go with vacuum. A vacuum cleaner is very important for us. For sure.
That's a good one for sure. I'm going to go with super basic, but flashlight.
That's
I
good.
Love, yeah. okay. like I love flashlights. Elizabeth makes fun of me because I, just the kid in me likes to just look at things in corner. I still care. I have my Olight on
I can't
right
find
now.
My flashlight.
I have a, I like I've right even here. Bought more, like this used to be the flashlight, but then I, you know, have my, yeah. my Olight.
Phone flashlights are only good. Like they're great. The phone having a flashlight rocks, but ultimately they're not the best.
Phone flashlights are great until you use a designated flashlight and then try are. To use a phone yeah. flashlight again.
Okay, so now it's me, right?
Yeah, you get another one.
So my other one was actually this. I was going to be super technical or tactical on this one, but okay. like a, I think that's the name, but I had to read like the pocket jig, like the, what's it called?
The pocket jig.
Pocket like, hole jig.
Yeah. So how, okay. Yeah.
Oh,
love because that. We've used it so much because that's what to basically get
that.
The angled in, but
didn't
still
expect
get it.
That.
Like the Craig pocket
Craig
hole.
Craig pocket, yeah. right. Like we had a generic one that Elizabeth hated because I got off Amazon. Okay. And so we bought the Craig.
So you guys nice. Use a pocket hole jig.
That's
because
awesome.
We built I mean, so many shelves, and that's a really good thing for shelves, right? Yeah. We built shelves in our house in Virginia, I mean, in Alabama and here. So
that's a good answer. I didn't expect,
very, very
I didn't
tactical.
Expect to hear the pocket hole jig on yeah, here, but I so. Like that. Okay. I am simply going to go with a utility knife. I've got them sitting yeah. everywhere. The yep. razor blades are so yep. cheap to replace. Yep. You can just you get the ones with the quick release on there and the blade store. It's so easy. I've got them everywhere in my house. Yep.
I'm going to go with not necessarily a household tool, but it's just going to be a tool overall. The tool that does everything, it's going to be a table saw.
Okay.
Yep. I mean.
Yeah, helpful household tool.
Well, I mean, we were looking at, it's still a tool.
Yeah,
if
it
you,
is.
To do that, anything yeah. around your house, table saw would be super helpful.
It does. It is helpful for creating anything to go in your house. That's for sure. Yeah.
And yeah. then my other thing will be a pair of Knipex pliers.
Yep. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And if the Knipex is, I'm being very specific with that.
Well,
if you
like
guys
which,
are trying
are you
to
talking
look
about
it
like
up,
needle nose?
No, or like, I'm talking about like the Knipex pliers.
But they
they're,
make,
they're a certain, they're like,
they
they're,
have, they make all the pliers though.
Yeah. But they're like flagship one is like a certain shape.
Yeah.
Which I don't one? Remember what it's called.
Is it alignment pliers? Like what would you,
I can't remember what it's called.
Or is it the yeah? Is it the ply like the locking wrench one?
Like
that
their
awesome?
Locking plier would probably be the because
yeah. they make that locking wrench plier thing.
Right,
that's
it's
awesome.
Gotta be like I have a pair in my EDC pouch. Mm-hmm. So
yeah, they make one.
It's like it's basically like a pair of like
right,
channel.
It's like the channel lock.
Kind of like channel.
Yeah,
locks, yeah.
That is.
But you
that
can
that
do.
Is,
it's like the only pair of pliers in the world that you can actually grip onto something without ruining it.
They're basically so. Those ones are of our. Those are kind of like channel locks and almost like a vice grip in one, aren't they?
Not quite like a vice grip. They just, the way that the, like snout is shaped.
Yeah.
You can actually, no matter what size, like a bolt.
You
is
have
or
those?
Anything, yeah.
I don't have any of those. Those are cool.
And you can, well, I have them for working on the car, but that's what I'm saying. You can have it in a pinch. You can work on anything in your house that
no,
is
they have
a hex
the rule.
Shape or a square shape or anything. You can grab onto it without stripping it. And yeah. you, no matter the size, and
no,
then also
pliers.
You can work on a car.
I feel like
as well.
The pliers thing, like everybody has their shape of pliers that they use for everything.
And just let everybody at home know it's spelled Knipex if you're trying to look it up, and it's pronounced Knipex. You can look yeah. it up on their website.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. Disclaimer. okay.
Don't come after Connor, please. Don't come after Connor.
I appreciate that, Jason.
Let's see here.
I don't even know what tools I just said. Oh, a table saw and Knipex. Wow, yeah. my list is getting niche. I said drill for my first one, though.
So. I'm going to go with a level.
Yeah.
Level.
That's good.
Hang stuff all yep. the time in the house, even if you have just furniture that might not be level or a chair or something. Having a level around is very helpful.
Yep. So I'm going to go super practical, mm-hmm. a ladder.
I was literally just
thinking
that.
That's a great one. That's really good.
And we have a bunch of different ladders.
We have a
step
ladder that just folds out, and that thing is like so helpful. Yeah, that is a very good one.
And then the other one, oh my gosh, I just blanked on what it was. It was more, okay.
I can't wait for my next one.
I'm just improvising everything.
And this
right
is
now.
Very boring, but super practical, is a good pair of work gloves.
Yes.
Because you can use work gloves forever.
Yes,
gardening,
Jason, that's a
hauling,
great one.
Doing everything. So, and I have a pair of mechanics, like it's the brand, mm-hmm, right?
Yeah.
That just, I love. Like I could just wear all the time, honestly. They feel mm-hmm so good, but they're practical. So a good pair of work gloves.
Every time I go to Lowe's or Home Depot and I start grabbing wood, I'm like, why didn't I bring my gloves?
Yeah, exactly. So we used to buy, so now we keep a pair of gloves in everybody's car. Like my kids mm-hmm and me, I put a pair of mechanics gloves in their car because mm-hmm if you need to change your tire, you got gloves. If you need whatever, you got gloves.
So. I'm going to go with zip ties.
Oh, zip ties are so good.
It's a great one.
So good. That's a good one.
I'm going to go
with your last two here, Connor.
A lawnmower.
Okay, yeah, gotta have one.
Gotta. How else are you gonna cut your grass?
By hand. Scissors.
Then scissors is your answer.
Yeah,
wait.
Sure. Oh, that is a good answer.
My next one might be...
A good pair of scissors is quite good.
I think my next one is duct tape.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna take, but now I might take scissors. But I did already put a knife on there, so I probably won't. Okay, so that's your...
So you said duct tape. Okay.
So his
that
list
was
is drill,
be my
table
answer.
Saw.
My answer was duct tape.
Drill, table saw, Kinepix, pliers, lawnmower, duct tape. A lot of great things.
It's a pretty
there
good list.
Yep.
Okay. Last one for me. Let's round it out here. It's tough. This is tough. There's a couple that come to mind. There's so many things that you really need. Jason, if you have your last one ready, I'll let you.
I don't. I'm
me
literally
okay
mentally going through my workbench at home and trying to think
ooh
about what.
Oh, I got
what
one
specific.
I got one. Power strips.
Yeah.
Can't live without those in
I
the
have
house.
A ton of those around.
Yeah. So my completed list is vacuum cleaner, utility knife, a level, zip ties, and power strips. That sounds about right for me.
I'm starting to feel like with how broad this list is, I could have had dishwasher on there.
When I introduced the list, I said helpful household tools.
Yep.
Items that you use around the household that are helpful.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And so, I mean, you broadened it by saying table saw, I think.
What?
Because, I mean, you think helpful tools you use around the household. I mean, you can definitely fit table saw into that because that is loose. I mean, our brains are always fixating on a different definition of what things are. But
I should have said iPhone.
I mean,
it is a helpful tool. So,
well, I mean, how would you know how to do anything in your house?
It's true. Google.
Oh, wow.
Jason, I'm going to go ahead and tell you right now, you should take Google or YouTube.
Well, my first answer was like super tactical again, which is what, but then Trevor says helpful around the house.
I mean, if it's helpful around your house, it's helpful.
Yeah.
My house is wherever I lay camp. Am I right, boys?
That's right. The home is where the heart is.
Okay, I got one. I got one. A good work bucket.
That's a great
like
one.
The 5-gallon bucket.
Yeah.
You can do so many things with a work bucket.
I would say
I use it as a stool.
I have a stack of them in the garage. We use them for all kinds of different
Nobody
things.
Nobody went down the food like lane, but like you definitely could have said like cast iron skillet. Or like a crock pot. A crock pot would be a great one.
That's
cooker,
where I was trying to figure out because like a
I didn't think about the kitchen. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't. That's,
technically though, you could argue a crock pot is also kind of an appliance. Though,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. You can.
I don't know. What is the definition? Anyways. All right. Well, that's so Jason's list is flashlight, pocket hole jig, ladder, work gloves, 5-gallon bucket. Here's a good thing about these lists. All these are very custom to us and like what we really, I think each of those lists reflects what we genuinely need a lot around our house and use. So people will probably vote on what resonates with them. Like what kind of, I think Connor's is very tool centric for sure. Like your classic tools. That's what mm-hmm. he enjoys doing. Mine is a lot of like, I feel like, smaller little practical things, and then Jason is very custom things to what he likes. I think the ladder though, that was a very good one, because like a step ladder is, gosh, I have this metal step ladder that I'm pretty sure I stole from my in-laws.
I can't remember the last time I used duct tape at my house, but you know, duct tape is just a tool
you
gotta
have
it
all the time.
That is the thing about duct tape, is I feel like there are times where I need it a ton, but like overall, as much as I love saying, oh, I just love duct tape, gotta have duct tape, I don't know how much I actually use duct tape.
Yeah,
if you're doing anything remotely crafty, then you might break it out. But like,
I use duct tape in the office a lot more than I would in my house.
Right, it's more like a quick fix for something. Yeah. So it's more like a patch for something. Yeah. Well, it goes. What's funny
when I was a kid, I would use it for everything. Oh yeah. It's like, I guess maybe what it is now I have access to grown up hardware.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, I'm just not even gonna think to just like, because when you're a kid, you just think I need to fix this. I'm gonna use duct tape. When you're an adult, you're like, I'm gonna fix this. Let me YouTube how to fix it the correct way so that it's done correctly.
Well, people would say that about zip ties too, but I disagree.
Right. We used to.
I think zip ties is a legit fastener.
Yeah,
yeah. I use zip ties mostly for cord management.
People don't realize how much. How strong?
Oh, they're so strong. Zip ties are. People, you can handcuff people.
There was
with
a there was like, a Donut Media media video of them comparing like super expensive zip ties to just like the Harbor Freight dollar zip ties. Yeah.
Guess what?
Guess what? The cheap ones rock.
Yeah,
they were the same thing.
It's so great. We used
both held like 80 pounds.
You know what? When I was a kid, I used to use duct tape. We used to wrap all our wiffle balls in duct tape because then they would be a little heavier, so they went further, and also they would if they cracked, they're just covered in duct tape, so it wouldn't matter.
Eventually,
it's
a duct tape ball.
Yeah, duct tape ball.
What's funny is I think I have most of the smaller things are in my truck because I have I have a tool roll like in my truck that it has duct tape in it, has gloves in it, has zip ties in it, has wrenches in it, has pliers in it. But then I also have the thing on the back of my
pocket hole jig.
It doesn't have the pocket hole jig. That's way too tactical. Sorry. But on the back of my seat, I also have one of those like back things that has the Mole system that has like have like a first aid kit and gloves. Okay. But it also has power bank in there. I have a headlamp in there, so flashlight. So I'm prepared. I've never used those in the real world, but I'm ready to go if I need to use those.
I'd like to get that whole jig. Craig just is awesome. They make so many cool jigs and attachments and things like that. And a lot of them are kind of expensive, but they are gonna last you and they do go on sale because I have the I have one of their like clamping straight edges that you can use to like rip plywood and stuff, and you just like run your circular saw on it.
Yeah.
And I got it on sale, and it was pretty reasonable. But they make a lot of cool things.
Jason, I came up with this phrase in the disc golf world the other day, where I called something your tourniquet disc. It's the disc that you use to stop the bleeding.
Yeah.
So what is your tourniquet disc in your bag?
My tourniquet disc. Wow. Right now it's probably a Wizard. So.
Oh, okay.
Wow. Of all things, I don't throw very far, right? So that's but I can. I'm gotten to the point now that the Wizard I have, which is that Freddy Krueger one we had in our in our box, I can throw it on any. No, stay on any. I can throw on Heiser. Stay on Heiser. I can throw it straight. Yeah. It'll go straight. And it's great one. And I learned because of the plastic of that, I can actually throw it in the rain and it not slip out.
Mm.
So that would definitely be my tourniquet. What about yours? What's yours?
Oh man,
you asked the question. All right, Trevor. What's yours?
I don't. I don't remember if I. Oh, I think the passion.
My turn.
Okay, yeah, that's a good one.
It's one that I know I can get down the fairway with, but it's not going to go too far left, and it's not going to go too far right.
Yeah,
mine has pretty much always been whatever my like straight mid range is at the time. Yeah. So for the longest time, it was that rock. Right now, I have a shark in there that's kind of doing that, but either that or my like putter that is like slightly overstable that I can just throw on Anheuser and then it goes straight. Discs like that. Anything I can throw
it's
on slight
Anheuser. It's kind of that disc that you're like, I'm not going for anything with this shot.
Right.
This shot is just, I know it's going to be good.
I know
it's
going to
be fun.
Yeah. I can throw it straight for 120 feet or I can make it curve. Like, that's the Wizard. Again, I don't throw very far, so it's perfectly fine for me. So
a lot of people say, speaking of tourniquets, I keep seeing people doing like wood shop tours and stuff like that, and a lot of them talk about keeping a tourniquet in your shop because like you've got like basically 90 seconds till you black out if you hit an artery.
Yeah,
probably should get one of them, huh?
Yeah, it's funny, but then you hear people talk about and then they're like, but you have to test the tourniquet, but then like whenever you test it, like it's no good anymore, so you shouldn't use it anymore. And then like, how do you get it, like what tourniquet do you use then?
Right. I should probably pick one
you
up.
You can still use that one. It just won't be as, like, you've lost some of the tensility of, is that
they
one?
Make
the
tensile like, strength whenever of it, I hear someone talk about a tourniquet, it makes me even more scared.
Yeah.
Like, because it makes me so scared of the tourniquet because it's like, well, also, if this, like, malfunctions in any way, then, like, you're just going to die.
Well, whenever, it's very sobering whenever you're watching people talk about table saws or whatever, and then they mention that because it brings you back to reality a little bit, and you're like, oh yeah, if I make one wrong move, my life's over. Yeah. But I'm just trying to make a bookshelf.
That's just life.
Yeah. He's like, oh, I'm just trying to cut this board in half so that I can, you know, make this little shelf. And if I slip up, I'm going to cut my arm off and die.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you're just going from like a, this is just an average Saturday to this is a life altering injury.
Yeah.
So we missed an obvious one, like bandages, right? A household item that we all use.
Kit.
First aid kit is that. That's
true.
It'd be like,
or like slippers.
I bought like an Amazon first
or like underwear. It'd be like a really good
underwear.
Like
good
you like
one
to wear
sure.
underwear.
If you're into that. I bought like an Amazon first aid kit whenever my wife and I first like moved into our first like apartment or wherever we were living, and it's still the one we have. And we haven't used it that much, luckily, but it's probably been depleted enough. I probably should get a better one.
I used like all of our Band-Aids because one time we had a youth event at our church where we were doing mud volleyball. And so they...
I forgot about that.
They did this event like a couple years ago too, but they had issues with like, they just used like some generic mud that they had and everything or some dirt and then like soaked it down and everything, turned into mud. Right. And apparently everybody was complaining because there was a bunch of rocks in there.
Oh, no.
So this time they like ordered like sifted dirt. Like to use as mud.
I didn't even know that.
And like put it on top of tarps so that no one would get hurt. And I was playing and stepped on a piece of glass. And
it kicked your butt.
The funny thing was,
this was right before what trip?
This was right before my family went to Florida.
That's right.
And I could barely walk.
Yeah.
The funny thing was, is I stepped on, I felt my right foot like a sharp pain. I was like, there's something in my foot. So I picked my foot up, piece of glass sticking out of it. I'm like, that hurts. And so I like jump on one foot off and like I'm like not making a scene because I don't want to freak any of the students out or anything. So I just kind of go over to the side where the hose is. Someone's like, hey, what's going on? I'm like, hey, would you mind if I use that hose? There's a piece of glass in my foot. And so I hose off, pull the glass out. And it was like the part that was in my foot was like a needle, basically.
Yeah.
So it was like I pulled it out but I couldn't see it. That was what was bothering me was because there's so much mud. Finally rinsed the mud off. It was just like a little dot of blood. And the glass wasn't still in there. I was all good. So we like rinsed it off, got a towel, put a Band-Aid on it. And I'm walking, and it hurts really bad, though, because it's very sore. And then I, like, my left foot, because that was on my right foot. My left foot, I'm like, there's, like, a gunk of, like, thing of mud stuck on the bottom. Why does it feel like there's something else stuck on the bottom of my foot? So I'm, like, scraping it on the curb, like, trying to get mud off my foot and everything. So me and my wife leave early, because now I am all gimped up because of the glass in my foot. And so we go ahead and leave. And on the way home, I just, like, put my left foot, like, on my knee, just, like, sitting there. And I look, and there's this huge gash taken out of my foot. Like it's, like, probably an inch and a half wide of a deep cut on my left foot. I'm like, why the heck was I so focused on the little hole in my right foot? There's a huge gash right here. And by this point, because I'd been, like, jumping just on my left foot to try to preserve my right foot, it was just caked full of mud. So then I got home, and I'm, like, rinsing it off.
That's the best way to stop the bleeding.
It's true. But I'm, like, rinsing it off, and there's so much sand and mud just deep inside of it. And so I'm pouring, like, hydrogen peroxide on it, and it hurts so bad. Oh, my gosh, it hurts so bad. I thought I was going to cry. And so then I carterized it. I asked my friend Carter to spit in it. just kidding.
Nice one.
Thanks, man. And so I just, like, put a Band-Aid on it, and then, like, the rest of that week I was just changing out Band-Aids and Neosporin on it. I'm not usually like a get cut, use Neosporin and Band-Aids kind of guy.
It was big and you caked
like,
in the mud.
Yeah, it was the fact that it was full of mud.
No, I feel like...
And then the next 2 days after that, I went to Florida and I limped around Florida the whole time.
That's awful. It's terrible getting a cut on your foot. I definitely should invest more in like a nicer first aid kit probably. We do, like the only expensive things we ever bought for the purpose of first aid is when our first kid was young. We bought, they're called LifeVax, and they're basically these, like, they're to help if your kid is choking, you put it over their mouth almost like an oxygen mask, and then there's a thing you pull up and the suction can like dislodge, and they're very effective. You know, they've saved so many lives, and they're kind of expensive. I think like $70, but like it was one, the peace of mind that it gives is great. So we bought one for the car and one for the house. And we still have them because they're, you know, we've never had to use them, thank goodness. You know, have you ever had
that's actually
kids,
great,
you know,
we
that
need
they
to
are,
put those on our baby registry.
Yeah, choking, yeah, they're great to have. And and you know, choking is a matter of when, not if, with kids. Now luckily most of the time it's let me give you a slap in the back, it might give you a little heart attack, but they're going to be fine. Had that happen about a million times, especially when they're learning to eat. But luckily we've never had to use that, but it is great to have that if it gets to the point where like, oh my gosh, we cannot do anything else. So that's always the one thing we know exactly where that is in the house. But, yeah, like I do have like this old house with all kinds of things that could happen. I've got these fireplaces that my kids could just trip and crack their head open on. Like I should probably invest in like a good first aid kit. Like I don't even know. Like I think I spent $15 on the one I have, and it's pretty nice. It's got some gauze and Band-Aids right. and Neosporin. I mean, what could 50 get you?
Yeah,
like a saw.
It'll include like scissors, a tourniquet.
Yeah, do you have a nice first aid kit, Jason?
Yeah, we have a couple.
I know the warehouse has a nicer first aid kit than I've got. You got that cool Uline one.
Yeah,
comes with like aspirin and stuff.
So yeah, I'm gonna
look one up.
I carry a little first aid thing in my backpack, right, which is a bunch of mostly just Band-Aids and some gauze and some Neosporin just for quick stuff. Mm-hmm. I even have like a little one I have in my disc golf bag, a little EDC one that has like tweezers in case you get a tick, you know, awesome. And it has like Band-Aids and Neosporin.
Okay, this is
gauzes and tourniquets.
This is a professional 350 piece emergency first aid kit. Now, I love when people, it's like when you buy a mechanic's tool set, it says 190 piece.
But it's for like every socket right, yeah. stuff. And every bits. Every Allen key.
Yeah. Every single Band-Aid.
So like what is 350 piece actually mean?
One time I saw a toolkit that had a bag of zip ties and it counted each zip tie in the bag as a piece of the toolkit.
I mean, I can literally see on here, like it's going to count every piece of gauze, every Band-Aid. But this one looks like, let's see if it has a list. This is $42 for this professional 350 piece kit. It says it's going to give you, I mean, okay, I can see the picture here. It looks like you're getting all of the bandages, gauzes, that thing, but you're also going to get safety pins. There is a tourniquet on there, some like Q-tip swab things, some tweezers and scissors, some gloves, tongue depressors. What the heck do you use that for?
I guess they're choking.
Okay.
You can see if they're choking, so.
That's a good point. Yeah, I mean that looks kind of fun, but not. I mean, I want something really cool. Now this is $440. Wait, no, this is $20. This one is a 298 piece kit that also comes with scissors.
They couldn't give you two more for the 300 piece kit. I mean, come on, 298.
Well, I think that other
two
one,
more Band-Aids.
I think they priced it up just because. Anyways,
well, they can't say Band-Aid. It's adhesive bandage.
Band-Aid is
trademarked,
name, man.
Trademark.
Yeah. Wow, there's a lot of options. I want to know what the most expensive one is.
Guys, whenever I was like 6 years old, I had this realization the other day. Whenever I was like 6 years old, I put like a handful of Nerds in my mouth.
Mm.
And then my friend's uncle was like going around to like all the kids and like grabbing them by their hands and spinning them around. Like, you know how they used to do that? Like where your feet are flying in the air.
Of course.
And spinning you around. Very uncle thing to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
Uncle Steven was his name.
Uncle Steve.
Wasn't my uncle. Stefan, actually.
Oh, sorry.
It's Uncle Stefan, my bad.
I'm sorry.
And I just put a mouthful of Nerds in my mouth. And he came over to me and just grabbed my hand and started flailing me around. Of course, I was down for it.
Yeah.
You know, like, I wanted to be spun.
Yeah, it sounds good.
Yeah, yeah. I'm like, move, Stefan. And then in the process of that, a couple Nerds traveled from my mouth, like, it through the back path, like down the back roads and got into my nose.
Because like I would say the inertia is taking those Nerds directly down your throat.
No. They went into my nose.
Oh, that's interesting.
Like, yeah. Like they went from my mouth down my throat and then up into my nose.
That's worse.
And I just remember him like stopping, like laughing and like going away and me standing there thinking there's fire in my nose. like someone put a bunch of bees in my nose and it burned so bad.
You don't want Nerds in your nose.
And the reason why this memory came back to me is because I know the reason why I don't eat Nerds to this day. Well, I do. Like once a year I eat Nerds. Usually around Halloween time, whenever it's like the only time I ever see Nerds. But I was at like a youth event like a few weeks ago and they were throwing out boxes of Nerds. So of course I grabbed one. Puts in my mouth immediately. My nose starts burning.
Oh my!
It's like
psychosomatic.
It's like a reaction now, and that's why like I associate Nerds with my nose burning. Every single time I eat Nerds, my nose starts.
That's
burning.
Crazy.
And anytime I eat any of that like super super like citric acid type candy, like Smarties and Nerds and like anything like Spree, anything like that, my nose starts burning. And it's because I just like the smell gives me the memory of that.
Dude, I'm not looking forward to the first time that my kid decides to put something up his nose because that's like something kids do. Like I remember my little brother, I have specific memories of him sticking like a Barbie shoe up his nose. and like my mom like freaking out trying, like kids just be stuffing stuff up their nose.
Yeah. I used to swallow quarters.
Yeah. And like I'm just dreading the first time that something goes up Brooks's nose and we gotta like dig that thing out of there.
I specifically remember my sister's handing me quarters and me just being like and swallowing them and then like giggling and then like handing me another one. I mean I'd swallow like five quarters.
How many quarters do you think you swallowed?
I am worth a lot.
How many quarters?
Well, hopefully they're not still in there.
Yeah, so. Hopefully not.
You pass? There's no way you passed.
Yeah, you passed them. Xander swallowed a quarter. We were celebrating our anniversary in Jacksonville. My mom had my Xander with my mom, and we were staying in a nice Airbnb. And then my mom calls me like 11 o'clock at night. Oh, Xander, we think swallowed a quarter that was on the side table. So we took him to emergency room that night, and we have a nice little x-ray of a circle.
That's hilarious.
In his stomach. That's so funny.
And like you just pass it naturally because he got an x-ray a little bit later on and it was gone.
Yeah.
So.
I mean, if you shook me, it sounded like a piggy bank.
It's crazy though.
Connor's eaten a lot of like weird things in his lifetime.
I have. All just to make someone laugh. For me, it's worth it if I get a chuckle out of somebody or I get like a disappointed look out of somebody. They're both a reaction. You know?
Yeah.
If you don't want me to do something, just don't react.
That's true. That's very true.
I'm like a child.
You don't do it as much anymore. Nowadays, you usually consider it. But you will usually say, like, if you don't want me to do this, please stop because I will do it.
Yeah.
Like, you kind of warn us. Mm-hmm. And so that way we can back off because we care.
I did put an entire Easter egg in my mouth last night.
You didn't eat it though.
I didn't.
Baby steps.
But I put it in there and it was like I couldn't stop myself. It was like my body
shell
just
still
did it.
I mean like a plastic Easter
like
egg?
A plastic Easter okay, egg. Okay. Like but like as in like it was at somebody else's house.
All right.
Yeah.
Like we were like it was me and my friend were in the kitchen. It was just the two of us. And I was going to grab like a piece of candy out of the basket and he's like, "Yeah, grab a piece of candy." And then I grabbed the Easter egg and I put the whole thing in my mouth.
It's good stuff.
And then I took it out of my mouth and I was like, I'll throw this away for you. And he was like, yeah, that'd be nice. And then he walked out the room and I was like, I didn't even, like, why did I do that?
it's reflex. I kind of forgot until yesterday because our realtor dropped off like a bag with candy in it. I kind of forgot that Easter, like, oh yeah, this is a holiday where we do end up consuming candy a lot of the time. And I'm not ready for that because I've been eating like crap lately because after having a baby, like my wife and I just have no energy to put any focus towards food. So we just basically eat whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, a candy holiday following that up. My goodness.
That actually leads me to the question I wanted to ask you guys this week. We're going to do a little Easter trivia. Okay.
Actually?
Yeah. Okay. So there's only one question. Who is your Lord and Savior?
That's a tough one.
I thought you were going to say he is risen.
We're going to say he is risen indeed.
There are so many options for that. So.
I legitimately thought you had about like 10 questions that you had Googled for Easter trivia. Now I kind of want to do Easter trivia.
Yeah.
What's your favorite? I mean, all right. Cadbury cream egg, yay or nay?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Because so many people say nay. That's by far my my all time favorite.
The most controversial is marshmallow peep, yay or nay.
Yay. Yay if it's been left on the counter for a day or two and it's
better,
really hard.
Yeah,
and
they're
rubbery.
Better if they're stale. Yeah.
So good.
Mm-hmm. I agree. They're
so
better if they're stale.
Good.
So like, I'm yay for like one of them.
Yeah, I can eat one.
I can make myself sick with the stale ones and it's sad.
It was a candy that I was infatuated with as a kid, but nowadays, like, yeah, I'll eat one and be like, yeah, marshmallow peep. Ha-ha.
No, I can't eat
when
one.
When I'm eating well,
yeah.
I wouldn't touch it, but right now I'm not eating well. So, like, I'm probably going to go buy some at Walmart on the way out of here and open them up. I literally open them up, put them on the counter for a day. Okay, they're not quite stale enough. Then 2 days later, they're like... So,
that's awesome. That's so funny.
Sad,
stale peeps. Okay. They always do...
I had a Reese's egg.
Did you try
last night.
Ooh, that's good.
That was a good time.
Did you try the peep-flavored Pepsi when it came out?
I refused. I love Pepsi too much.
It was gross.
To try that.
It was disgusting.
It was just
it would ruin Pepsis and peeps
one
forever
of my,
for me. So.
One of my toxic personality traits is that if there is a flavored version of something classic that probably is going to ruin it anyways, I have to try it.
Yeah.
I have to know what the new
what
one
is
tastes
it?
Like.
We did the Flaming Hot Mountain Dew, right?
Yes. They made a Flaming Hot.
Terrible.
It was like you drank it and you're like, oh, Mountain Dew.
And then
you stopped drinking
spicy.
And you're like, wasabi.
I like
no,
Mountain
it was
Dew
like legitimately spicy. It,
it
burned. It was spicy. Yeah. It was gross.
I'm not so a spicy gross. Guy in general. Not really spicy. I like a little heat, but not like real spicy.
Well, that's unfortunate because we actually... So we got these hot sauces because we're going to do a disc golf hot ones eventually.
Okay.
And we need you to test them all.
I'm in then. I'm in.
Actually, you want to test
I'll
one?
I'll do it, yeah. For content, come on, I'll do it.
No, you're just testing. You're just testing it for the content.
No, there's no way. If it's not on camera,
I'm doing it for the Patreon. You can test it for the Patreons. They'd probably get
fair enough.
Out.
I can test it for the Patreon.
The hottest one is also 2 million Scoville units.
I will not touch that.
I think it's funny
that should totally be a Patreon video. It's
you
like
and Brad can
Brad
test
and Jason.
Out.
Brad
test
likes
the,
spicy. Well, Nate loves spicy.
Okay, so maybe we need to have Nate test.
Nate's a hardcore spicy sauce guy.
I'd like to have an idea of how they line up before we do it. The first, there's five sauces. The first, maybe there's six. I think there's six, and the first three are probably not going to be very big deal at all. The fourth one's like, okay, and then the last two are like 1 and 2 million Scoville units. Like, yeah. Like there's like a ghost pepper and then this other one I've never even heard of. So yeah, cool. That's going to be something.
That's funny.
We always like in there's a little chain place it's in Pigeon Forge, but the other place is called like Pepper Palace.
Yeah.
And they have like a ton of sauces. So like, and you can just flavor them all. So we went to Pigeon Forge a few weeks ago for a little family thing. And we came back with six jars because it was buy six, get two free. Mm-hmm. I have three kids, so they all got like their own flavor stuff. But I came back with some spicy barbecue sauce. It's just like jalapeno or habanero. That's good stuff. I like heat, but I don't like spice, like super hot.
Same.
Like good wings.
I like something when it has a good kick.
Yeah.
But yeah. Speaking of Tennessee, so I don't know if you guys ever hear about like the casino they're building in Bristol. For some reason, I thought it was in Danville. It's not. It's in Bristol. So obviously, Bristol being right on the border of Virginia and Tennessee.
Right.
And I was looking into it last night because I loved my experiences going to Vegas. I thought it was super fun, like walking around the casino. It's a blast. And I was like, I'd love to take Kenzie to just like experience that because I think it's just fun to like see that.
Yep.
And well, it turns out, so they're building a Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Bristol.
Okay.
But they had, I guess what they had done is they built a temporary just Bristol casino while they're constructing the full thing. But it's supposed to be done by July. Like it's supposed to be finished in the summer. So we're talking about doing it as an anniversary trip in the fall this year, going to the Hard Rock, staying in the Hard Rock Hotel. And then like the casino is like obviously on the floors.
Cool.
I think it'd be a good time.
That's cool. Do they have a pool?
I hope so.
That's cool.
Probably not going to use it in November, but it also is like right on the border of Tennessee, Bristol. What an interesting city. Those bordering cities are fascinating to me.
That was one of the things, whenever we stayed at Caesar's Palace, one of the things that Gabby said was don't go to the pool.
There's like a ton of pools there.
And I said, why? And then she read me the name of one of the pools that you can go to. I think it's a little risque.
Really?
Yeah.
There's like a pool for like every block of the hotel out there, but they were all outdoor pools. Yeah, I didn't really see any. I don't know.
I think there was a lot of risque things in Caesar Palace that we didn't see. That we didn't walk
well,
by.
Well, that's just the city of Las Vegas.
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas.
Yeah.
That's how the city goes.
My experience in Las Vegas has been only within the confines of like a hotel room
and then
a very small stretch of the strip. Like literally just to basically walk out and see the fountain show and walk back. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's obviously been a pretty like, because like if you're walking around the casino, like obviously, yeah, you don't want to lose all your money in there, but like there's nothing crazy going on. It's like being in an adult arcade. A guy might try to sell you cocaine in there. That did happen to us, but you know that doesn't happen to everybody.
Right.
I guess we just looked
experience.
The type. Yeah,
I can cross that off my list.
Yeah. So,
I mean, to be honest, looking at the four of us, we looked like a bachelor party everywhere we went.
We looked like
a bunch of youngish guys who were all giggling.
We looked like the equivalent of like the high schooler that wants somebody to buy alcohol for them. Like I think we looked like the older guys that were looking for, like we didn't know anything about anything, and they're like, these guys are idiots. Like we're gonna sell them cocaine at 10 times the rate of going rate of cocaine.
The funniest thing about just like us and people always make comments about this in videos is like, these guys have to be high. None of us have ever been high before. It's just we are always just in that
fun,
kind of
guys.
Mood. Like,
you're high on life.
Yeah.
Right. Come on, high on disc golf.
I mean, come on. We were traveling the world playing disc golf. You didn't think we were going to look high?
and we were exhausted.
Some of the
and we'd eaten so much Applebee's.
Where did we even eat when we were in Vegas? Didn't we have... We didn't really go anywhere in
Vegas. We ate at the food court.
That's right. Yeah,
we had that burger place.
Oh yeah, we had the Bobby Flay burger place, which is good.
It was fine.
They were good burgers. Yeah. All right.
See, Silas laughing over there. I don't know if it's about y'all's
time in
Vegas.
What did you get?
There's so many other places in Vegas.
Yeah,
I don't. Silas, you're the pickiest eater of the group.
Silas is disappointed.
What
at
were you mad? We couldn't get
Vegas.
Chicken fingers somewhere else. Like,
no,
what?
I mean, I'm with him. The food court wasn't my first choice if we were going to go.
The main reason,
also at that point, I was just so tired, I didn't want to go anywhere.
Yeah,
so.
I said the only reason we didn't explore was because
we were scared.
Well, yeah, we didn't really want to just walk around aimlessly, and also. Like, we were going to have to wait a long time for food. We wanted to spend our time, like, actually
and
playing.
And parking
the
was crazy.
Right. So. There were some places we were ended up on the West Coast that all we had was time to explore, and some places we didn't have any time, really. Mm-hmm. And it just so happened that one of the places we had time to explore was a place like Ogden.
Which was electric.
Which was electric. We had played the most fun escape room ever and had dope pizza and saw the sick historical 51st Street. yeah, that's just how that worked.
The people
Ogden
that
is an outdoorsy city, though.
No, so Ogden is
Ogden's
a dumb
for
city.
Is
what
it is. It's for outdoorsy stuff.
No, it's for losers. It sucks. It has a great pizza place, though.
The pizza place is awesome.
I wish it's like the pizza place there is like I would call it like the embassy of a good time. It's like if you want a good time, you go to the good time embassy.
Yeah,
and that is the
I told people the other day, I was in a group and I told them about the best pizza I'd ever had was in a crap town called Ogden, Utah.
Yeah.
All those Utah guys would come after you now.
Everyone there was like, this place sucks.
There's an Air Force base there, Hill Air Force Base.
Yeah.
And I wanted to get, Elizabeth has family in
we
Salt Lake.
We saw jets flying around.
So we tried
there.
To get stationed at Hill and they're like, you do not want to be stationed at Hill because there's nothing like,
yeah.
You got to drive to Salt Lake for life.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like,
Salt Lake. There was nothing
to do. So I never did get Ogden, so.
I mean, there's a sick chiropractor's office that doubled as an escape room. That was fun.
Oh, really?
It didn't actually, but it looked like it.
All right.
Okay.
Reg die. Here we go.
I think that means that you die.
It doesn't count.
It doesn't count?
No.
Okay.
Who was it? Just for funsies.
I don't know. I can't see. There's a box in the way.
Sick episode.
It's in the shade. It's in the shade, so I can't really see. I'll give you a little barrier here.
Brad.
Oh, Brad. Okay. Welcome back, Brad.
That's a new person for a while here. Hunter.
There you go.
Brad Hunter.
Some balance has been restored. Yeah. Brad and Hunt. Go. All right.
All right.
Cool.
We'll see you guys next week. Please leave comments of what you would love to hear us talk about, guys. Just give it a shot. Just give us a shot. Give us a chance.
Or is there a chance we won't because y'all are moving next week?
I'm not going to be on next week. JK.
Oh yeah,
you guys can comment whatever.
So actually,
you
might
want.
Be me. It might be me, Hunter, and Brad, because Connor is going to be outie of townie.
I'm in the Outer Banks.
And we are going to be in a new place probably by the time we. I don't know. Maybe. Who knows what's going to happen next week?
Somebody's going to have to set up this set.
Stay tuned.